Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Tēnā koutou and welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. My name's Pip and I'm an alcoholic. Hi everyone, and I'm the chairperson for today's meeting. We open most AA meetings with a serenity prayer, and I'm just going to invite the people we've got here to join me in the serenity prayer. God,
I am in the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Kia ora. We've got a group here from Bulls and Bears meeting, which is on a Monday night at 7:30 p.m. at Poplar Lane in Thorndon. So thanks heaps, guys, for coming in this morning. I'm going to read the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous, which explains a bit about what AA is and what it isn't. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So again, you're at the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. We're on Wellington Access Radio 783 AM. And if you hear anything that you relate to today, you might want to call our 0800 AA Works number, which if you call 24 hours a day, you'll get to talk to a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. So that's 0800 229 675. So we're going to kick off the sharing now, and we're going to start with Aidan.
Hi everyone, my name's Aidan. I'm an alcoholic. And I first got drunk when I was 14 in a double door garage in Taita. And it's funny, I think I made a conscious decision to get drunk that night. It was after a rugby game, and I had been resisting the idea of drinking for about a year, because several of my friends had been drinking for a year, and I just thought they were dicks, you know. But for some reason, it seemed like a good idea, you know. And that first time I got drunk, I blacked out, I threw up, I passed out, and then I got back up and started drinking again. That's kind of my drinking story, you know. I drank from 14 to 23, and I don't think at the time I drank that very first time, I don't think I drank because I was full of fear or because there was peer pressure for me to drink. But I soon discovered that if I did drink and if I did get drunk, it did make those things a lot easier. And that very first time that I got drunk, it was like all of a sudden all the lights are on, you know, and I felt comfortable within my skin. I felt like I was a part of things. And I just loved it, you know. And for the next 9 years, I chased that same feeling, and I could never quite get there, you know. I might drink three or four cans and get that glow on again, but because the compulsion to drink was so strong in me, I couldn't stop after those three or four cans because I wanted more of it. And invariably, after those first drinks, you know, things started to get a bit unpredictable, you know, like I got into fights, started arguments, went to one party in one suburb, ended up in other suburbs, drove drunk, attempted suicide a number of times, and I didn't know until I got to AA that if I hadn't have picked up that first drink, probably none of that stuff would have happened. I thought it was because it was that last snake bite that I had, you know, after drinking about 12 bottles or something. It was because maybe I'd had, it was that 13th rum and coke or something like that, but it's actually the first drink, you know. And what I found when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous was that I suffer from this twofold illness. You know, I have this mental obsession with alcohol, which eventually will lead me to take a drink. And when I take a drink, it sets off this physical allergy or this craving that makes it really, really difficult for me to stop. And the only way that I've been able to stay sober over the last 17 years is through Alcoholics Anonymous. And you'll probably hear a little bit about it this morning, but the way I got sober is through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and those 12 steps can be found in the big book, which is actually called Alcoholics Anonymous, which Alcoholics Anonymous is named after. And through doing those 12 steps and following the 12 traditions, not only have I been able to stay sober, physically sober, and emotionally sober for those 17 years, the traditions have enabled me to live within AA and outside of AA in the greater world, you know. So, you know, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous at 23, I thought my life was over because there were all these old guys talking about 20, 30, 40-year drinking careers, and I only had 9, which doesn't seem like a long time, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much you drink. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter what religion you are or what ethnicity. The disease, the illness will get you. And the only way that I've managed to stay sober and have a semblance of sanity and happiness is through AA. So I'm eternally grateful for that. And I will end my sharing there. Thank you.
Thanks, Aidan. Aidan talked about the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you go to our website, which is aa.org.nz, you can find a link there to the big sort of world AA website, and on there you can read a copy of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. You can also get it from the public library. They have copies there that you can borrow. So yeah, you're on the Meeting on Air, which is Wellington Access Radio 783 AM, and you can get hold of Alcoholics Anonymous on 0800 229 675. And now we've got our next speaker.
Hi, my name's Rebecca and I'm an alcoholic. And yeah, I was just thinking how much I loved drinking, and there was, you know, there was always a reason to drink. My drinking, you know, I thought it was fairly normal. I started when I was about 13, and I drank to party, and I drank to fit in, and it was fun and cool, and everyone else was doing it, and it all seemed really normal. And really rapidly, you know, I don't know when, if I noticed that my drinking was any different from other people's, but it you know, really rapidly it started consuming my life. And I always found a reason to have alcohol in my life, whether, you know, there was something bad happening or something good. It was just, you know, alcohol kind of felt like water. It just, you know, was something that you have there in your life, yeah, and I didn't really think about it much more than that. But then as I got older, you know, I got a job in a bar as soon as I left school, and I got, I never thought about it this way at the time, but I got one free drink at the end of every shift, and so at the end of every shift, I would have that one free drink, which, of course, I would have, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I never really knew, you know, when I would stop, and I just, I think that that's just, at that point was when it really started becoming more of a problem. And yeah, so I didn't recognize alcohol necessarily as the problem when I came into AA. I was only 21, and I kind of deleted everything else in my life. Like, I thought it was the boyfriend or the job or the situation I was in, or I blame my parents. You know, I really... I still kind of thought of alcohol as the solution, but in reality it wasn't working anymore at all, and I was turning to heavier things. And what in the end, what really brought me into AA, you know, without even being really sure if I was an alcoholic or not, was the fact that I was just so depressed and so unmotivated about life and so, you know, befogged about what, you know, I was only 21 and I felt so miserable. And I didn't really know, you know, if how to keep going. And so I went to a meeting of AA that a friend had talked about. And she took me along, and I wasn't convinced, but I sat in these rooms. It was really weird. You know, everyone's super friendly and happy and sober, which is really weird, you know, when you're 21 and everyone and everything you know is around alcohol and drinking and partying. And, you know, and I listened to this woman get up, and she shared something, and I related to her, and that's all I really remember the most from that meeting. That, and there was a guy who was celebrating 4 years sober, and he had this birthday cake with four Teletubbies on it, and I just thought that was the lamest thing ever. Like, why would you celebrate 4 years sober? But, you know, I heard something in that first meeting, and I came back, and I think for me that's how it goes. You know, I just stuck around in the rooms, and I listened to people share, and I started to understand my own drinking story, and just how much alcohol was present in my life and how many, you know, and just what was happening to me. And I didn't have any kind of understanding around that before. I didn't understand anything about what was happening. I just thought I was going crazy. And, yeah, and I guess, you know, there was a time when, and, you know, when I came into AA that I couldn't imagine my life without alcohol, and I couldn't imagine it with it, and that for me was a real crossroads. As I said, I was 21, and I just didn't know how you get through your 20s, or any age for that matter, without drinking. Socially, it's really socially awkward, I felt, like not drinking. But now, after like one day at a time, in 10 years of sobriety, it's not like that at all. You know, I love my life now, and I have some sort of satisfaction with my life, and yeah, I'm just really grateful to be sober, and my life's really full of stuff that I didn't think, you know, I wanted. It's full of stuff that was, I don't know how to say it. I'm really grateful to be a member of AA, and my life has improved so much more, and I'm just going to leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca. This is the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air, and you may hear some things today that you identify with, and you can find Alcoholics Anonymous in the 0800 number, which I keep rabbiting off, but you can also find us online at aa.org.nz, and there's information about meetings there, and also some information from some of our pamphlets, and you can read a little bit about that. So we're going to move on to our next speaker now. And I think he's ready. Here we go.
Hey, hey everybody. I'm Addy. I'm an alcoholic.
G'day, Addy.
Good to be here. Hi, my experience, you know, I was brought up in a council estate in Scotland, and as a youngster, I suppose, with my mates, we, you know, through experimenting with substances and stuff like that, you know, what differentiated me for him at the end of the day was, you know, it was that lack of control. You know, I was, you know, they could stoke when they wanted. I couldn't, you know. And, you know, and that was always the case with me, you know. And I didn't understand what the problem was, you know what I mean? You know, drink for me was always, as had been mentioned before, was a solution to get out myself, you know, to give me that ease and comfort, you know, to, you know, because I was always full of self, you know. Basically, I was always full of fear, you know, and the drink took that away, you know. It gave me that confidence that's been mentioned, you know. But through the years, you know, that, you know, I always drank, you know, and you know, it took me to the progression. They talk about the progression, you know, for years through misuse of substances and booze, you know, I sort of took me to a dark place, you know, and basically at the end, basically for me, it was the only solace I got was oblivion, really, you know, and I was drinking for oblivion. And you know, and it hadn't always been like that, you know, but that's the progression of the alcoholism, I suppose, you know. for me, my journey started, you know, when I surrendered, you know, that was it, you know. I surrendered and walked into my first meeting of AA, you know, and what I got that night was a bit of hope, you know. There was people in the meeting that night were obviously, you know, they were happy, they were demonstrating something was working for them, you know, and for years I'd been trying to fix myself, and what drink depressed me as well, you know. And you know, at the end, as I talked about that fear, it wasn't going away anymore, you know what I mean? So, through the direction of somebody I knew, I walked into my first meeting of AA and it changed my life, you know what I mean? You know, I walked in here, I was spiritually bankrupt, I was, you know, physically, mentally battered into the ground, really, you know, and you know, I talked about that surrender, you know, I threw the towel in and what I got in exchange was a new way of life, so to speak, you know. I sort of, you know, they suggested a few things to me, you know, and they all rallied around me, and that's what you get in here, you know. People help each other, and you know, because I try to date myself all my life, and you know, I've seen doctors, psychs, all this stuff, all the services, none of them could help me, you know, because basically I'd never get honest, you know. And when I get honest, when I walked into AA, you know, because, you know, that was part of the deal, you know, getting honest, you know, my life started to change drastically, you know what I mean? You know, and as I talked about that surrender, you know, that was a platform to getting the solution, you know. I came in here, I found out what my problem was, you know, and it was mentioned, you know, that twofold illness, you know. I found out I was borderline mentally different from everybody else. Well, not everybody else, but, you know, just my peers and the boys I ran about with, and, you know, and I found out I wasn't different when I walked into AA, because there was loads of people who had walked my path, and, you know, and that's how we help each other, because these guys could relate to me, you know. These people understood where I, because they had walked that walk, you know. And what suggested was I get the 12 steps into my life, you know, and that was alien to me as well, you know. But through just surrendering and doing what was suggested, you know, things get better, and 7.5 years later, I can honestly say it's probably been the best 7.5 years of my life, just for the fact that I don't live in that fear anymore, you know. And, you know, I'm imprisoned with the booze and everything else that went with it, you know. I've got freedom today, you know. I get to add to the stream of life, so to speak. I used to take all the time, you know. These days, I've sort of changed as a person, you know. And that, it wasn't about getting up the booze, it was about me changing, you know. You know, because I didn't like the person I was either, you know. That was all part of my alcoholism, you know. The day it's no like that, you know. I get to live in the world today, and I get to contribute, and that's a big change for me. But if anybody's out there struggling, you know, just get yourself to a meeting, and you never know, it might change your life, you know. Just front up and just step through that door, you know, into the unknown. That's what it was like for all of us, but you know, we came to love it, and we came to stay, and I'm dead grateful that I'm here today. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Eddie. I just wanted to read a small section from a pamphlet which is called This Is AA, An Introduction to the AA Recovery Program. This was put out by our general service office. So it's a section that says, only you can decide. If you seem to be having trouble with your drinking, or if your drinking has reached the point where it worries you a bit, you may be interested in knowing something about Alcoholics Anonymous and the AA program of recovery from alcoholism. After reading this brief outline, you're all listening to the show, I suppose, you may decide that AA has nothing to offer you. Should this be the case, we suggest only that you keep an open mind on the subject. Consider your drinking carefully in the light of what you hear and what you might read. Determine for yourself whether or not alcohol has truly become a problem for you. And remember that you will always be most welcome to join the thousands of men and women in AA who have put their drinking problem behind them and now lead normal lives of constructive day-by-day sobriety. So we've got another speaker now. I can't see around the speaker who it is. Oh, it's Tim. Here we go.
My name is Julio Iglesias. Sorry, my name's Tim. I'm an alcoholic, and I have a squeaky chair. And I'm 4 years, 8 months, and one day. 4 years, 8 months and 11 days sober today, thanks to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and a power greater than myself. And, you know, I had my first drink when I was 12. And I really believe that when I had that drink, I needed it, you know, because I was anxious as a child. You know, I grew up in the 70s, and I remember on the news then, there was talk of armed communist guerrillas. And as a child, I thought, my God, monkeys with guns. the world is a dangerous, scary place. And when I had that drink, the world wasn't so dangerous and scary. The world felt pretty good, and I felt pretty good with that drink, and it felt better with another drink. And it was always like that. You know, I never stopped at one. I always, as soon as I'd have one, I'd want more really badly. And, I'd developed a craving. I have one, I want more. And when I wasn't drinking, I was thinking about drinking. And really quickly, alcohol became the focal point of my life. And it got me in a lot of trouble, you know. And when it started getting me in too much trouble, I switched. I switched to heroin. And that seemed more manageable than active alcoholism. And I'd go back and forth, but I could never drink normally, And the stuff I did to get myself out of trouble, I put myself on a Greek island to get away from drugs and nearly drank myself to death. I got kicked off a Greek island for being a drunk. And that's an achievement. And it's a progressive disease, I believe. And so by the time I was 40, I'd just been in a lot of trouble, and I'd finished a stretch of home detention, and everything was looking rough, and someone had given me the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'd read the doctor's opinion there, which sort of told me about the disease of alcoholism, and also that it was a progressive disease, I really identified with that. But I wasn't quite broken enough, so I finished my home detention. I had another go at it, and it was awful. I couldn't function properly at all. The alcohol and drugs weren't weaving their magic. Nothing was working. I couldn't get that sense of ease and comfort that I felt I needed. So I came into AA really unhappy, really angry, and not very well balanced. And I stuck at it. That's the one thing I did. I got a sponsor. I got a home group. All the things they suggest you do in Alcoholics Anonymous. And just one day at a time, I do all the things, even though I try and have faith in a power greater than myself. I do the things that got me sober, knowing that they'll keep me sober. I go to meetings at Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe that if I stop doing that, it's sort of take a way of taking my will back. And so I do what I've always done, and it's essentially boiled down, it's three things I do. I trust God, I clean the house, I clean up the wreckage of my past, and I help others. And, I'm better at some parts of that than I am at others, but, I'm really grateful. AA has given me the things I wanted, It's given me Egyptian cotton sheets and Calvin Klein underwear and the sense of ease and comfort I have now that I didn't think was possible without alcohol or drugs. I'm comfortable in my skin. I never thought I'd have that sober. I thought sober was absolutely hideous when I tried it. And, I don't have it now. I'm comfortable today, thanks to AA. And, I hope I haven't spoken for too long. I'll leave it there.
Thanks, Tim. You're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio 7:83 AM. If you want to get hold of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you've just tuned in now, we're available on 0800 AA Works, which is 0800 229 675. You can ring this number from any phone that you find. Free. And we're also available on the internet. You can get hold of us at aa.org.nz. So that would be great. We've got members from the Bulls and Bears meeting here today. Bulls and Bears meets on a Monday night at 7:30 in Poplar Lane, and I'm sure that these people would make you most welcome. We've got our next speaker now.
Hello, my name is Sam, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Sam.
I loved alcohol. I absolutely adored it. When I first had some, it solved all the problems that I had about how I could have opinions about things and how I could, in my case, talk to women or how I could have, just do things. And I absolutely adored it. In fact, if I could drink safely and without going insane, I'd still be doing it. That's how much I loved it. It solved so many problems. I like the bottles that came. I like all sorts of things about it. It was just wonderful. Unfortunately, that's not how it went. What happened is increasingly, and as others have said, the drinking sort of started to take over. Things started to happen that I didn't like. I'd behave very badly. I would end up in situations that I really didn't think were good, and I'd do things that I thought were really bad, and it just kept happening. I was 22 when I got sober. I'd been to AA before, when I was 21 or 20, and the thing is that when I went the first time, I admitted I was an alcoholic, and I've talked to a number of alcoholics who have the same thing, but I'd have these moments where I could see that it was the drinking and the alcohol was the problem. I could just have this moment. It's talked about as a moment of clarity in some movies, like Pulp Fiction, for example. But that's what it was like. I'd have this moment, and the moment where I came in this time, which was some years ago, I'm really young, honestly, but it was a long time ago, and I came in at 22, and I'd had this flash in the night before. I don't remember what happened after that because I blacked out, but I had this flash that I can't do this anymore. The drinking, it's the alcohol, it's the booze, because that night I'd vowed I wouldn't drink. I was the last to leave somewhere, and I drank more than everyone else and made a fool of myself. And I was walking off in the wrong direction for where I lived and going somewhere, and I just had this instant, this feeling, this knowledge that that was the problem. And I don't know if every alcoholic has that, but certainly I did, and I know of others that have too. So I knew that was the problem. I knew that was it. That was what was behind what was going on. So I rang up and went to AA, and I found it. Well, first of all, I rang up, found out where the nearest meeting was, and went and sat down and went to the meeting and kept going. The good thing is that in the cities like Wellington and the region, there are meetings every day. So it's not like you're going to have to wait to next Tuesday or the following Friday or Saturday in 3 weeks. There's meetings every day. And so I was able to go that night. And then I just sat down, and it felt good because for some reason I didn't drink from the first meeting I went to. You know, I'd been drinking compulsively and badly for weeks, months, I don't know how long. My memory's not that good about those things. You know, it was just a big wash, a big river of alcohol, effectively. So I just sat down and I didn't drink. And then I came to the meeting on the Tuesday. It was a Monday and a Tuesday. Didn't drink then either. And then I didn't drink the next day, and I didn't drink, and so the days have all added up, and it's about a day at a time, one day, then another day, then another day, and for some reason, I know why, I've got an idea now, but going to Alcoholics Anonymous managed to stitch those days together, and that's pretty cool, because I really couldn't control my drinking. I had tried. I did all sorts of things about when I drank, what I drank, who I drank with. I had rules around it. I had all those things, and they didn't work. I even tried some wacky religious things. They didn't work either. Because, and this is what I discovered, and people have talked about it here, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm different. There's something different about me. I have a whakapapa, a family of alcohol history going back generations of people who died horribly or had miserable lives, and I seem to have the same thing. And so I came into AA, and somehow, by coming to Alcoholics Anonymous and doing something we've got called the steps, I was able to stop. I just haven't drunk since. And it's been quite a few years now. And it's a miracle. You know, that is a fantastic miracle, because where I was, I couldn't go a day without picking up a drink. So one thing I would say is wherever you go, and I've been around overseas, there are meetings everywhere. That's because alcoholism is a global disease, and also because the treatment for it, coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, is the same everywhere. So I've been to meetings all around the world. And if you go to the AA.org website, you can find a list of all the meetings by day. And you can come along. There's no membership records. You just pop in, sit down. Don't have to give your name. You can give a fake name. Some people do that. So that's for me. Thanks very much. And look, just if you know that alcohol is the problem, and you probably do on some level, come to AA. It works.
Thanks, Sam.
I've just got another pamphlet that I just wanted to read some stuff from. It's a pamphlet called A Newcomer Asks, and it's in a sort of question-answer kind of thing, and it reconfirms some of the things we've heard this morning. So one of the questions is, if I go to an AA meeting, does that commit me to anything? And the answer is no. AA does not keep membership files or attendance records. You do not have to reveal anything about yourself. No one will bother you if you don't come back. And then it says, what happens if I meet people I know? And the answer is, they will be there for the same reason you are there. They will not disclose your identity to outsiders. At AA, you retain as much anonymity as you wish. That is one of the reasons we call ourselves Alcoholics Anonymous. And then there's another question here that says, why do AAs keep on going to meetings after they are cured? And the answer is, we in AA believe there is no such thing as a cure for alcoholism. We can never return to normal drinking, and our ability to stay away from alcohol depends on maintaining our physical, mental and spiritual health. This we can achieve by going to meetings regularly and putting into practice what we learn there. In addition, we find it helps us to stay sober if we help other alcoholics. And just one final question here. Well, they're two. They're joined, sort of. How do I join AA? You are an AA member if and when you say so. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. And many of us were not very wholehearted about that when we first came to AA either. So how much does AA membership cost? There are no dues or fees for AA membership. An AA group will usually have a collection during the meeting to cover expenses such as rent and coffee and those sorts of things. And to this, all members are free to contribute as much or as little as they want. So that's a little bit about AA, some questions you might have. And now we've got our final speaker today.
Hi, my name's Maria and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Maria.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed listening to everybody so far, and I guess what I was reminded of in listening is that before I knew about AA, I would see problems relating to alcohol as kind of tied to more like judgments around character, you know, like people were bad people if they drank, you know, a certain way, like they couldn't control their drinking or they got violent when they were drinking. And as some have touched on already, is I also grew up in a home where alcohol was used, and I saw a lot of behavior that I didn't like, and that experience was really difficult and painful growing up. So in my mind, it was a moral issue, you know. And so what I found is when I reached, you know, my teenage years, 13, 14, I'd seen quite a bit of life in relation to alcoholism, you know, with my parents and extended family members and also friends. And you know, I didn't want that in my life. And what I would tell myself is that I was going to be different, you know, that I was different than them. But by the time I'd reached my teenage years, my own alcoholism had started to set in, and I, you know, I would justify my drinking. You know, a lot of my drinking revolved around relief. You know, I really struggled with dealing with life's problems. I like to say that I drank because, you know, I just was really, you know, exciting and I liked to party. But the reality is I had a lot of life problems, and some of them were quite difficult, and I didn't know how to deal with them. And when I took a drink or took another substance, because it was harder to get alcohol in the U.S. When you're under 21, I actually, you know, took that drink so that I could just get that sense of relief. You know, I didn't know that the first time I took a drink. I had my first drink of wine with my stepmother when I was 14, and I just remember that sense of relief that I did get having that, you know, and being able to finally relate, you know, to her in a way that I couldn't before, and, you know, because relationships were quite hard for me. And so, you know, I just kind of stored that memory of having that first drink, and, you know, went right into my adolescence with that knowledge. And so, you know, I did what, you know, kids, you know, young people in you know, that time of their lives do. You know, I was in high school, I was working. And I would often justify my drinking by saying, you know, well, you know, I deserved it. I worked so hard. And I'd also think it was, you know, around the activity. So if I'd go, you know, tramping, you know, and then, you know, smoke a bit of pot, you know, it was really about the activity. Or if I was at a party, you know, it was about the party and socializing. And, you know, drinking was just a part of that. But really, like, in my gut, I knew that the only reason I went is because I wanted that, you know. I really just wanted that. And my mind was thinking about it the whole time. You know, everybody else would be sitting there enjoying the conversation, but this was really just, you know, when I was talking to them or, you know, participating, it was really just a side, you know, a distraction to what my main purpose was, which was to, you know, get wasted. And so, you know, I kind of traveled on with that logic, you know, thinking that, you know, I didn't have problems with alcohol and I wasn't like these other people that I knew. And you know, but what happened is life taught me differently, is that there came a time where I was high achieving in school and I did work quite hard, but when it came down to my drinking, it's like I couldn't control it. So I had a lot of obsessive thoughts, and then as soon as I had that drink, I couldn't control what I was going to do. And when I was 17, I'd coordinated this trip related to school, and when we got there, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't deal with life, and I ended up drinking, and soon after ended up in the hospital and almost died. And so my drinking career was quite short. It was only 5 years, but as people have said, I was introduced to AA when I was 19, and when I came to a meeting, I sat and I listened to people share their story, and I could relate. You know, I finally could admit that I was powerless, and that I did myself have problems with alcohol, and I needed help. So it's been 14 years, and life is a lot more interesting than when I first came in. And I now know it's not a moral issue, you know, for me. It's that physical allergy and that mental obsession. And I'm so grateful today to have a life worth living and just by making that admission. So thanks.
Thanks, Maria. I'm going to Action Radio. I'm going to pass the Book of Alcoholics Anonymous over to Maria. And I'm going to get her to read a chapter from there. I think it's chapter 5, how it works, just a little section from the start. And before I do that, I just want to say one more time that we're on Wellington Access Radio 783 AM, and we're here once a month, but you can also download these podcasts from the Wellington Access Radio website, but also from the AA.org website. There's a small tab which says meetings, and if you click down, it says meetings on air, and you can get the meetings there. You can also contact Alcoholics Anonymous on 0800 AA Works. That's 0800 229 675, or you can look at our website, aa.org.nz. And now I'll just ask Maria if she could read how it works for us.
Sure. So it's Chapter 5, How It Works, in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It starts off, "Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to the simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power, that one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaim, what an order, I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. That we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, and that God could and would if he were sought.
Thanks, Maria. And I just want to finish up by reading one more section from my favourite pamphlet, This is AA. And it goes, and the heading for this is, Will AA Work for Everyone? The AA program of recovery from alcoholism, we believe, will work for almost anyone who has a desire to stop drinking. It may work even for those who feel they are being prodded in the direction of AA. Many of us made our first contact with AA because of social or job pressures. Later, we made our own decision. We have seen some alcoholics stumble for a while before getting the program. We have seen others who made only token efforts to follow the tested principles through which over a million of us now maintain our sobriety. Token efforts are generally not enough. But no matter how down and out an alcoholic may be, or how high he or she may be on the social and economic scales, we know from experience and observation that AA offers a sober way out of the squirrel cage of confused problem drinking. Most of us have found an easier way. When we first turned to AA, many of us had a number of serious problems, problems involving money, family, job, and our own personalities. We soon discovered that our immediate central problem was alcohol. Once we had that problem under control, we were able to make successful approaches to the other problems. Solutions to these problems have not always come easily, but we have been able to cope with them far more effectively when sober than we were able to do during our drinking days. So, again, I'd just like to say, thank you for listening to this meeting on air. This is the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio, 7:83 AM. You can contact Alcoholics Anonymous on 0800 AA Works. That's 0800 229 675. You can also go to our website, which is at www.aa.org.nz. Most AA meetings also close with the Serenity Prayer, so I'll just ask everyone to close the meeting with me now.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you very much to Bulls and Bears, the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, which meets on a Monday at 7:30 PM at Poplar Lane in Thorndon, and they'd love to have you there. Thanks, everyone.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.